Are we people who do not envy? Are people who are not jealous of others? Are jealous of one another? And we talk about envy or jealousy being a work of the flesh. And where Paul said to the Galatian Christians, those that do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of heaven. So if we want to go to heaven, then we must not be people that are envious. We also said that love is not puffed up. It doesn't vaunt itself. It's not puffed up. Are we people who are not puffed up, who are not full of pride? We also talked about the fact that love behaveth not itself unseemly. Things that are unbecoming to a Christian. As Paul again says to the Philippian church, let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, as it is fitting the gospel of Christ. We also talked about the fact that love does not seek its own. When we substitute I for love, can we truly say, I am not and a selfish individual? Am I thinking of others before myself? After all, that's what the scripture teaches us to do. So then, as we continue on this afternoon, we get to the section where Paul talks about in this chapter, in verse number 5 of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, that love does not provoke. Am I not easily provoked? That word provoke carries the idea upset, incited, to the point that sometimes wrath will enter into the picture. If we are going to be people that manifest true love in our lives, we must not be people that are easily provoked, that are easily upset. The scripture teaches us in James chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. And when you talk about being provoked and becoming easily upset, that's the idea of a person who has a quick temper. Almost anything will get under their skin. If we are that type of individuals, then we are truly not manifesting love, true love, in our lives, because love doesn't act like that. Love is not easily provoked. And if we allow ourselves to become easily provoked, it won't be very long before we get off into anger, and anger will lead into wrath. And after all, James says, slow to wrath. Wrath is a dangerous thing. Verse number 20 again in James chapter 1, he says, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. If we are going to be people who are easily provoked, let our temper get the best of us. Get off into wrath. There's no way we're going to be able to demonstrate, illustrate the righteousness of God. We must be people then that are not easily provoked. Somebody says, well, it's just me. I've been like that. Well, we need to just work on me so that we can sort of control ourselves so that we don't get to that point. Because again, the wrath of man, James says, does not work the righteousness of God. And then the Bible says in verse number 5 again, that love thinketh no evil. Can we truly say, I thinketh? And I know that doesn't sound right, but I thinketh no evil. But notice what the text says. Love thinketh no evil, does not continue in those evil thoughts, does not dwell on evil thoughts. There'll be times, I'm sure, when evil thoughts will come across our mind, but we cannot dwell on these evil thoughts. The sin is made. You know, the birds can fly over your head, but don't allow them to make a nest in it. So, evil thoughts may run through our minds, but we cannot dwell on those evil thoughts. Because if we dwell on those evil thoughts, it's not going to be long before we're going to be participating in those evil thoughts in one way or the other. So love thinketh no evil. And when we dwell on evil, get into evil, then certainly we're not walking in the light. We'll never be able to demonstrate and manifest the love of God if we dwell on evil. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 1 and verse number 5 that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. Evil thoughts will lead us into darkness. So when we dwell on that, we'll no longer be walking in the light. But then the Bible continues in verse number 6 of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. That love or charity rejoices not in iniquity. Can we truly say, I don't rejoice in iniquity? Sometimes people love to rejoice in iniquity, in lawlessness, in sin. But God doesn't get any pleasure out of that. How in the world can we manifest the love of God in our hearts and in our lives if we rejoice, if we get pleasure out of evil or wickedness? Listen to what the Bible says in Ezekiel chapter 33 and verse number 11. The Bible says, "Say unto them, as I live, says the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil way. For why will you die, O house of Israel?" God says, I don't get any joy. I don't get any pleasure out of wickedness, out of iniquity, out of evil. So if God doesn't get any pleasure out of that, certainly we ought not find pleasure in that. There are people, as I've said, that rejoices in that. Look at what the Bible says in Romans chapter 1. After God, through his word, had talked about all of the evil that went on among those people there. He talked about homosexuality, and he talked about malice, and he talked about wrath, and he talked about all kinds of wickedness in that chapter. And then he gets down to the end of the chapter. And this is said. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 32. The Bible says, "Who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them." That looks like to me that's somebody rejoicing in iniquity. Not only do they do it themselves, but they have pleasure in other folks that do it along with them. Brothers and sisters, this afternoon, we must not be a people that rejoice in iniquity. But rather than rejoicing in iniquity, the scripture goes on, says, but rejoices in truth. Love does not rejoice in iniquity, it says, but it rejoices in the truth. And that's what we need to be about, rejoicing in the truth. Yes, indeed, we need to be a people that will rejoice in the truth. But again, some folks would rather rejoice in a liar than to rejoice in the truth. We need to be people that find joy in the truth. And then the scripture goes on in verse number 7 and says, "Love beareth all things." Can we truly say this afternoon that we bear all things? Simply meaning, are we a people that will forbear all things? And the word forbear means to put up with things. sometimes some folks can't put up with anything. But we must be a people that are able to bear along with all things, put up with things. We're not talking about things that are wrong. We just talked about we can't rejoice in truth. We can't continue. I can't rejoice, rather, in iniquity. And we can't be a people that dwell on evil thoughts and that kind of thing. But things, there are certain things that even happen in our lives that are not evil, that are not wicked, but they get sort of give us a little bit of problem somehow, and we're not willing to bear along with them. But we must be a people that are able to and willing to forbear. After all, this is what Paul said to the church at Ephesus in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 2. Again, he says, with all lowliness, this is how we walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we are called. He said, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another. How? In love. So love beareth all things. Love is willing to forbear all things. The statement is made so many times that everybody's not on the same level. So then, knowing that everybody's not on the same level, we must be willing then to bear along with people as they grow. And as they grow, you know, we grow too. So we have to forbear one with another. There are some things that I do may get under your skin. There are some things that you do may get under my skin. But we must bear with each other, bear along with each other so that we both can grow. But if we are not willing to bear all things or forbear all things, we'll never demonstrate the love of God in our lives. And then the Bible goes on and says, in verse number 7, that love believeth all things. That's the idea of looking for the best in all situations. You know, there's a statement that's made that there's some good in all of us and there's some bad in all of us. But you know what? So oftentimes people look at only the bad. We need to look beyond the bad and look for the good. Everybody has some good in them. Look for the good. Look for the best in every situation. And if we look long enough, I'm sure we'll see some of the good. We'll see some of the best. So we must believe all things. Look for the best in situations. Then it says, hopeth all things. Does not give up. Love does not give up. Suppose God had given up on us. God knew what we would become if we would succumb to his will. So we must be a people then that do not give up. We hopeth all things. Not only that, but love endureth all things. When everything else fails, love is still there. A mother will love her child. I don't care what kind of situation he finds himself in. A true father will love his child. I don't care what kind of situation he finds himself in. Why? Because love endureth all things. We need to love one another no matter what situation the other find themselves in. We need to love, endure all things. Because the scripture goes on to say in 1 Corinthians 13 and verse number 8, love, what? Never faileth. Thank God that his love never fails. His love is always there for us. We today need to be a people that will not allow our love for one another to fail. We need to have what I call the ever-ready body of love. You know what that says. It keeps on going and going and going. Our love needs to keep on going and going. And so when these qualities that we've talked about in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, when they are evident in our lives, they will speak louder than words. Remember when I started this lesson last week, I said that actions speak louder than words. When they see these things happening in our lives, it's a better sermon that one could ever preach. Because actions truly do speak louder than words. And we'll be showing them that sermon that they say that I'd rather see a sermon any day than hear one preached. So then we need to then show people love in our lives. And when we live in this way, we'll be truly doing as the song, words of the song say, we'll be letting the beauty of Jesus be seen in us. We'll be carrying out the commandment that Jesus gave in John chapter 13, verse number 34 and 35. He says there that a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you. And he says, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. If we are manifesting true love in our lives, people will know that we are God's disciple. And in that way, we'll be letting our light shine. And we know what Jesus says. Therefore, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. Glorify your Father, which is in heaven. And that's the purpose of our calling, brothers and sisters, is to demonstrate love in our lives so that the world may see that we are truly God's children. And when we do that, God will get the glory. That's what he has created us for in Christ Jesus, to give him the glory. Isaiah 43 and verse number 7, he says, even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. Let's not fail to give God what he created us for. He created us to give him glory. And one of the ways that we give him glory is to love one another. And so then, as I conclude our lesson on today, as words in a song that is sung sometimes, may the work that I've done speak for me. We need to be a people that show people love in our lives, and it will speak for us. May we be a testimony then to the love that we have for one another. And unless it's motivated again by true love, our actions toward one another is motivated by true love, then it all goes down for nothing. So when we go back to the very first part of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, Paul would say things like that, like this, that if I bestow all of my goods upon the poor and have not charity or love, it profiteth me nothing. And if I give my body to be burned, and if I don't have charity, it profiteth me nothing. We need to have true love behind and motivating every action in our lives. And so again, John says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. Everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Then he goes down and again further on down and says, in this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. And then he says again in verse 10, beloved, if God so love us, we ought to love one another. So again, I ask us, how are you manifesting love in your life? If you and I cannot insert the word I in the place of charity in these verses, we got some work to do. So let us then so live that we'll be a demonstration of all of these things that describe love in this chapter. May God help us then to be the kind of people that love one another and love the world just like God loved the world. The Bible says again that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have an everlasting life. And when we truly love the world, then we'll be carrying that message to the world, letting the world know that they have a God that loves them. That they have a God that wants them to be saved. That they have a God that wants them to spend eternity in heaven with Him. But the only way they can do that is to become a child of His and manifest love, true love, in their lives. If we have any here this afternoon who needs to respond to the gospel call, we're begging you to come. Be added to the body of Christ through baptism, through repentance, through confession, and being baptized for the remission of your sins. If you're already a member of the body of Christ, but as you examine yourself, you find out again that I'm lacking. I've erred along the way. Turn away from it. If you need to confess, do that. If you just need prayer, whatever your need is, while we together stand, while we sing, would you come? Is standing patiently drawing near. Who knew the day we met? Whose is the voice I hear? Sweetly the tones are calling.